B3. Christian Science Practice, based on the science of divine revelation. Number 1A.
All right. The subject which we have chosen for this week is Christian Science Practice. And I think it's good just to state right from the beginning what the field of Christian Science Practice includes or does not include. Many who have read the title were feeling this is Christian Science Healing, but I want to say that this is a much broader field. Namely, Christian Science Practice is bigger than just Christian Science Healing, and so we will have to consider really a much wider field of investigation. Christian Science Practice is only one aspect. Christian Science Healing is only one aspect of Christian Science Practice, and actually should be the smallest part of Christian Science Practice. What is then Christian Science Practice in the biggest sense? Actually, it is a new way of life. It's a divine way of life. So we could just as well have chosen as a title, instead of Christian Science Practice, we could have chosen Christian Science Way of Life, because it really touches every phase of our everyday being and everyday experience, so that in this new way of life we find a practice that applies to everything from morning to night, from the first day of our earthly existence until the last day and even longer. It stands therefore in contradistinction to the old way of life, to the world's way of life, and we have to see that Christian Science Practice, and this is an important point that we have to keep all through the week, is therefore not an improvement on the old way of life. It is a new way of life, not an improvement of an old way of life. So we are not going to take the world's way of life and try to see how we can improve that, but therefore we will have to find a completely new basis for a Christian Science practice, and therefore Christian Science way of life. And this is something we shouldn't forget, because in the general course of events, the general attitude in Christian Science is that you take the human way of life, and just through some methods and rules, we begin to improve on that way of life. This new way of life, the Christian Science way of life, therefore, is a new method. A way is only the biblical term for method. It's the ways and means. It's the method of living. It's a new style of life. It's not an improved style. It's a completely new style of life on a completely new basis. This practice really touches all levels of existence and all levels of human experience and existence. It is therefore a new way of life that touches not only heaven but earth, that touches not only in health but also in sickness, or the other way around, that we have felt the Christian Science practice is only then applicable when we are sick. But we must see that most of our earthly days we are not sick, and Christian Science is applicable for that time just as well or even more, so that we are quite aware that it is a uninterrupted practice we are studying, and not just some moments in our daily life or of our daily existence where we are trying to practice Christian Science. Now, I have said Christian Science practice is based on a completely new basis. It doesn't take the old basis and lift it a little bit higher up. And so we have first to know on which basis we actually want to operate. Now, as you know, you are not beginners in this science, so I can base myself on a lot of free knowledge that you have. And so I just want quickly to indicate that we have a new basis in Christian Science. That new basis is put together, so to say, in a system and integrated into a system which we call a new system of reference. That's our new basis. Now, what this new system of reference is, you know very well. It is that system of reference that is based on the capitalized term of the Christian Science textbook. That system of reference has, as far as our understanding goes today, three big categories. All these three categories can be described through the capitalized terms. In these three categories, we have first the category of the nature of God. That's one category which depicts to us really the divine nature of being. It is in antithesis to the human system of reference and therefore to the human nature. Here we begin to learn that being and the nature of being is completely different than in the human system of reference, and so we can define really the nature and essence of being through the seven synonymous terms. Now, the seven synonymous terms are not just a kind of describing the nature of being, but we also must see, as what you have in every science, that the factors of being, really, that the elements of being, have an operational value. The operational value, that which makes those synonymous terms dynamic and not static, that those seven synonymous terms operate in the second category, the operation of God, as Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. It gives us the operational sense of the synonymous terms, those four sides of the Holy City, so that we have a very operative, omni-operative sense of the synonymous terms. We can see, therefore, also that when we investigate the synonymous terms, we have to be careful in what way we investigate them. We can investigate them just first as the nature of being, and afterwards as their operative sense, the operational sense of being, which investigates the seven synonymous terms again from quite a different angle. If we have that, if we have the nature of being and can define to ourselves the nature of being, and afterwards can see that nature of being in its operational sense, then still there is something missing for a everyday practical experience of them. Namely, we must see that the nature of Christian Science is the comforter, that which brings us out of the human, that will show us the divine, and therefore must show that the operation of being is touching, so to say, every level of experience. It should therefore be a system of reference that translates itself to every plane of thought and experience. Say that it translates itself from the highest sense of being, and therefore we have the third category, the levels of science, that it translates itself from the highest sense of science, of being, and shows it as divine science, namely translates it, so to say, to the wholeness and oneness of being, showing that everything is included in the operational sense of being, to which point, to the point of absolute Christian science, namely there where it manifests itself as infinite ideas, as infinite situations, as infinite positive problems of being, so that it touches every part of the infinite one. But even that is not enough. Even that would show us that it must also touch the human. And so the translation of science right down to the human is what we call the level of Christian science, the application of the divine science to the human, or I would say the impact that is felt when science is touching the human situation and begins to change the human situation. Therefore, on that level, we feel that science is touching not only the human problem, but right down to the material consciousness, right down to the consciousness of mortal error, so that nothing is untouched by the operation of science. It isn't so that science is okay and wonderful in heaven, but that it is separate from the earth and from where we are and from the material problems and the human problems. It shows that it translates itself to every plane of awareness, no matter if it's the awareness of mortal consciousness or of human consciousness or of a Christian consciousness. If we see those three categories clearly, we can see that with these three categories we can really touch every question and therefore every problem that could come up in our life. It would be all inclusive. In other words, we see that the infinite one as one being is reduced and can be reduced to a very simple system of reference, a system of reference which is presented in a very clean, clear, simple way, and therefore is understandable by everyone. It isn't something that is very complicated, very academic, but everyone today should be able to get hold of just a few elements, a few root notions of reality. But if these root notions are ordered properly within the system of reference, they make sense. If they are not ordered into a system of reference, they do not make sense, and we do not really know what to do with them. So, what is therefore the beginning of practice? The beginning of practice therefore would be to acknowledge that the old system of reference can be discarded. It would further say that practice means to get acquainted with a new system of reference. This is not theory, this is practice, because we have to acquaint ourselves with a new system of reference. And furthermore, which is very difficult, we should not mix them up. I say it's difficult, it's only difficult to carry it through. It is most simple in its statement, because that you can see very easily, that if there is an old system of reference which has to be discarded, it should be discarded once and for all. There is a new system of reference, and we get hold of that new system of reference, we should stick to it once and for all, and therefore have a proper line of demarcation, and don't try constantly to try to see the new system of reference in terms of the old system of reference. That's what usually then the student does, that he is interested in the new system of reference, but he always falls back on the old and mixes them up. So we have to see this pure line of demarcation. And once and for all, we should make up our mind here and now for the rest of our lives that it is just foolish to give any thought anymore to the human system of reference, and that it is worthwhile everything from today on just to be concentrated to the new system of reference and give all our love and time and energy and dedication and consecration to get hold of this new system of reference. So this is the first step. Now, when we have this new system of reference, then we should see that this presents the theory, the principle of being, that new system of reference. That chart is really trying to show to the present state of understanding the whole model of being. It's a symbolization, actually, of the model of being, all concentrated on one page, and that is the principle of being. That principle, now we must be clear about that, that principle now is shown in a structured way, and no more in a mystical way. It's no more an undifferentiated whole, as the mystics have it. They too have the oneness of being and one being and the infinite one. They talk the same language for quite a while as the language we talk. But the crux of it is that they have an undifferentiated oneness, whereas we have a very clear, differentiated, categorized sense of oneness. The moment we have a categorized sense of oneness, then we can go a step further, then we can show the theory of that principle. That one principle has a theory, has various theories, according to the categories of being, we find the theories of being. So that the one principle, because it is structured, must be explained through the theories. If we have only the infinite one in a mystical way, we don't need any theory. We don't need any interpretation and explanation. Now, what is then practice? Well, practice is using the right theory. But we must see, because principle is one, therefore principle includes the theory. So that at the beginning, we must be aware that principle and practice is one. They are not two. It's not one field here, or the one being a structure being, and then over there a practical field of application, and then try how can we take this one infinite being and plaster it on a situation over there, but that because being is one, the theories of being are within that one principle, and the practice is within that principle. It's not without that principle, not outside that principle. See, this is a thought that is not clear in every student. The moment the student says principle and practice, he has an and in between. The moment he has an and in between, he makes usually two of it, and so disrupts the oneness of being. We should see that practice is just another way of looking at the one being. Instead of looking at the one being from the point of its theory, we look at the one being from the point of view of practice, but it's still within that one principle. So, make a note of that, that we do not apply being to something outside of being. We must keep to that pedal note all through the week. And we'll see how difficult it is to get us out of the old ruts and to train and culture ourselves really in seeing that practice is an aspect within the one being and never touches something outside of the one being. Therefore, also theory and practice is one. Theory and practice is one, because theory is only the explanation and interpretation of that one principle. I say this why? Because, you know, those who are not thinkers, they always say, yes, yes, they know that stuff theoretically. But the main thing is that we practice it and show by this very expression that they feel theory is separate from practice. You even hear that they say, well, the theory is all right, but really that which matters is practice. Meaning what? That they feel we can have a practice and that we can practice Christian Science without having a theory. That theory is all right for them. Some people who are a bit intellectually minded and a bit academically minded and scientifically minded, but then they say, I'm not built that way. I'm a practical person. The main thing, after all, is that we practice it. It. What is that it? We practice it. And if you ask them, what is that it? And I say, yes, Christian Science. And when you say, what do you mean by that it, Christian Science? What is that? And I don't know what to answer. Because that it means the theory. And if there is no theory of Christian Science, they can practice, I don't know how many years, a lifelong practice which has no theory behind it, which is therefore not practicing it. It's practicing only what they think they could practice and what they think may be Christian Science, but not more than that. Actually, therefore, they practice a belief and not an understanding of Christian Science. And naturally, this attitude is all over the place in the Christian Science field, that everybody who does not like to study, everybody who does not like to think, everybody who thinks that it can be done without it, and that all what is needed is a natural flair for it, they feel I can practice without a principle, without a theory. So we should be clear that this is a completely unscientific attitude. You know, in the theory of science, you have that wonderful statement, and I think I would like you to write it right down. I don't ask you to write down many things, but I would like you to write down at least one sentence this week, and that would be the following sentence about theory and practice being one, namely that, I dictate it first, nothing is more practical than a good theory, and nothing is more impractical than a practice without theory. Well, that's the statement you have in most textbooks on the theory of science and so on, to show the unity of theory and practice. So nothing is more practical than a good theory. If we have a good theory, then that good theory is practical. We can't have a good theory which is not applicable, because then it is not a theory, then it's just some kind of hypothesis. And nothing is more impractical than to think that one has a practice and no theory behind it. Because then you can never fall back on a good principle that is basic and fundamental and that can be alone proven. Now, what is therefore practice? How could we somehow define now what practice is if it is one with the theory? It would mean perhaps like this, that practice is to recognize, first of all, the practical implications of a theory. That's the very first practical step. That when you have a theory, that then you first try to recognize really what are the practical implications of that theory. Where could it apply? To what situation could it be applied? And so we always have the implications in a theory. Say, if you have a theory like the law of gravitation, then you know that the implication of it is that everything falls down to earth. So the practical application and implication is that we know that whenever we take away the sustenance, the support of a thing, that it falls. We know that then, at once. So that we have the practical implication that if we want that something doesn't fall to the ground, we have to give it support in one way or the other. The other aspect of practice which we get is therefore that if we have a practical situation, then the practice consists in finding the right theory for that practical situation. That's practice. To have any situation, any problem, either a positive problem or a negative problem, and you ask yourself now, what is the right theory for this problem? That's practice. Practice is not knowing somewhere a theory and then just take that theory to any case that comes up and practice that theory on that situation. That's not practice. Can you see that? Well, I try to explain it further and further. But this has to be shown very clearly.